What is happening, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Craft as we get close to spring training starting. And of course, that means we got to finish our starting pitcher streamers here on The Craft. And I'm very lucky because I reached out to Eno and said, oh man, Eno, I know I brought you on as guest, but we still have one more of the series we have to do. Is it okay if you come on for just one more episode, maybe, onto The Craft? And he said, yeah, of course. Thank you. So,
just Eno one Saris, more.
Thank you so just much for more. Being here today.
Just one more.
How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. It's a hectic morning.
Yeah. How's your replacement level sandwich?
Cinnamon raisin and salami is a winning combination.
It is. It is.
Some people think that's disgusting. I think they're wrong.
Well, you know what? I've never had it, but I'm going to listen to Eno, guys. Is what I always do. I do want to say one thing really quickly. I put out a tweet last night. That was, I found my number one SP sleeper for the year. He hasn't got, he's going nowhere near pick 300. And I should have been more adamant about him in our last episode because he's in the AL Central. And that guy is Sawyer Gibson Long.
Oh, all right.
And I am obsessed with Sawyer Gibson. His extension is Logan Gilbert's.
Oh, yeah.
And he throws sinkers that stay down and actually miss bats because of his extension with two secondaries, a slider and a change that he keeps also down. And he has a flight attack angle because of that extension. That means he could throw four seamers above and get whips there too. And I remember actually watching him in, you know, after the 2023 season, be like, man, this is kind of cool. If like, you know, this guy's like staying down a ton and it's really effective there, but I don't know. Is he really going to get all those whiffs again or not? And like, I didn't know about extension at the time. I didn't know that it was 100th percentile or 99th percentile extension. And he's supposed to come back in June. He actually would have been back sooner because he got internal brace surgery, but he actually had a hip thing that he just fixed. So he's going to be back like June. And I feel like, I don't know, this is going to be 100 plus innings, 120 innings of legitimacy at nothing in your 12 teamers. I don't know. It's I feel like we're going to be talking about him endlessly in like July.
I mean, everybody wants Jackson Jobe and everyone's lusting after Jackson Jobe, but they also have Cater Montero as sort of a boring high floor guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Alex Cobb doesn't have options at this point in his career. So like, you know, if he's healthy, then he's pitching. So it could become a crowd in that rotation at some point.
No, absolutely.
And they do need help in the bullpen. So there's a couple different ways he can be helpful.
Yeah, I just think he's just too good. It's like nowhere. I never see someone that talented that late. And I understand the whole injury thing, but I mean, even in draft and holds, he's not getting touched. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing prospect pitchers who are just like get touched.
That's right.
And in that way, it's like, okay, cool, right? We're not really understanding how good of a pitcher he is when he's starting and healthy, right? So.
Just to have a sinker that rates as above average by Stuff Plus is and be a
That's
starter.
Difficult.
It's there's like 10 people like that.
So. Yeah.
and one of the 10 is one of my favorite sleepers, and he is in the American League West.
Well, let's do it. So we're going to talk about the American League West. And what, you know, for once, you're going to get to direct a team here. What team are we going to start with?
All right. Well, my guy's on the Angels. I think you can guess who he is.
So, okay, there's two sinker guys. There's Jose Soriano, who I love. And there's also Jack Ahonowitz.
That's right. But Soriano misses more bats.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, what really intrigues me about Soriano is, and I don't know why he didn't use these pitches, but he has like a 89, 90 mile an hour slider that he threw like 7% of the time that Stuff Plus loves. And you're just like, why didn't you throw that pitch more?
Yeah.
And then he has like a 115 Stuff Plus splitter that he didn't, you know, that he didn't throw that much either. So I'm worried that on some level it could be related to the injury. He had shoulder discomfort and elbow discomfort, the double whammy. But he took an MRI and it's clean. He made it to 113 innings last year. Mm-hmm. Sits 99 on that sinker.
Like,
what if he decided that he wanted to throw the splitter more than 8% of the time or the slider more than 6%? It's a 91.5 mile an hour slider. I undersold it. So maybe that is painful on his elbow, but even if he just comes back and throws his 98 mile an hour sinker and his 99 mile an hour four seam and his 86 mile an hour knuckle curve, I think, you know, I'm a stuffist and he's got, he's dripping with stuff.
So I think I can actually give you an explanation a bit for why he doesn't throw the splitter more and the slider. The first is that the splitter is pretty much saved against lefties in two strike counts. Like a ton. It's like 41% two strike count. It's actually effective 24% put away rate. I wish I had this on our site, and it's something I've talked to Kyle Bland about, but I have a feeling that the two strike percentage for Jose Soriano, that is how many of his at-bats or plate appearances that he has against lefties get to a two strike count in the first place, are below average because it's a sinker that allows a lot of contact.
Yeah.
And because of that, you're just not going to get there. You're just going to end these at-bats sooner. It's why I think you actually have a 21% K rate on Soriano's, because you're just not getting into the situation that you can put these guys away.
But a 92 mile an hour slider could be something you could throw against lefties. Usually those are, that's a gyro slider.
Yeah.
It's a tight little thing. He could get called strikes with that. He could get fouls with that.
I'm with you. If he can throw for a strike, it was a 52% strike rate on that slider last year. He tugged it a ton. I mean, pulling it all the way glove side to righties. I don't think he even threw it to lefties. He threw five of them or six. One was like the worst thing ever over here, like up, up and away. And then the other two were way down and in and underside. It was a 33% striker. So two of those became strikes. So it really feels like it's a command thing for Soriano. And hopefully he can click into that because, yeah, you're right. Like 91, 92 mile per hour strike, cutter, slider, whatever you want. That's always a winner in my book.
And he throws a curveball 86 and he throws it a lot. So yeah. It's not like we're asking somebody with zero feel for spin to just suddenly develop a feel for spin. It's just We're asking somebody who can spin this thing to also spin this other thing.
So I'm gonna say that there are a few interesting prospects I could say, or actually sleepers. I mean, I'm not gonna go into George Klassen a lot. I just think he's a cool crossbody, hard-throwing guy who they got from the Phillies in the Estevez deal. He could come up at some point this year, but I'm not really going to stash him or anything like that. A lot of smart people in the industry love Caden Dana, and I don't, but it's also because I'm really only focusing on his time in the majors as opposed to anything he's done in the minors. But we didn't like his stuff at all in the majors, and I was wondering if you had any sort of insight to Caden Dana, and if, you know, there's more that we might get from him.
There is the strangest thing in the world about Caden Dana.
Okay.
His fastball averaged between 90, not averaged. His fastball sat between 92 and 97.
What?
Yeah. You got to look at his velocity charts by game. It's amazing. And somebody even asked him about it. And it was like, yeah, that's my fastball. So it's one of the biggest ranges in the big leagues, if that's what it is.
That's what's supposed to be, you know. You're supposed to do this. This is what.
But if you throw 97, you throw 95, you sit 95.
No, but you're not supposed to.
I know.
You're supposed to sit at 93, 94, and then when you need it, bam, there's 97. At 97 doesn't work the same way if you're sitting 95.
That could confound the stuff a little bit, right? So right now our stuff on the fastball is 82, and that's pretty poor. But
that's
assuming he's a 93.9 on the fastball. Mm-hmm. But if he's actually able to, and especially in two strike counts or whatever it is, to be 96 or 97, then he's just going to have a wide error band on his stuff. Plus,
I mean, he had a 5% put away rate on the four seamer, just so we're clear. I don't know. I mean, I've heard good things.
Look at the strikeout rates in the minors, though, and they're amazing.
Yeah. I imagine it's off of the slider, which had an overall 19% swing strike rate, high strike rate on that. And you can get by, like, this is something I think about a lot, because I spent so much time looking at prospects. Mm. Oh, I hated it. Oh, God. Like, how do people do this? It's just, it's a lot of like, oh, yeah, that's a pitcher. And you're trying to figure it out. You know? And it's like trying to project more out of that. Like, I can say, oh, I like these mechanics. But you don't know. Maybe they just have velocity, or maybe they find their command all of a sudden, and that's great. And with Dana, and I'm sorry, not with Dana, but just what relates to him is that what I have seen is that guys can go up through the minors and have these good numbers when they have one amazing skill. And especially in A plus ball, it's like you have one good skill, whether it's command, velocity, or a filthy breaker, then you can get through single A.
Sometimes you can do it with strikeouts, you know? Right. So it's not, you're not like fooling anybody. You're striking them out, but still.
Right. But that's what I'm getting at. You can look impressive in A and A plus ball doing that. And sometimes also double A. Now, when you get to triple A, often, I mean, sometimes it's a tougher double A or so too, that you have to have one of those and then a second one. But the thing is, you need three for the MLB. You need to have, you need to be able to throw enough strikes. You need to have something that gives you whiffs consistently. And you need to not have a terrible fastball. If you have a terrible fastball, you better have two amazing secondaries. And that might be the reason for it. Cause I certainly only saw a good slider from Caden Dana. But
I think of another thing that happens in player development is that you could say to your coaches, like, oh, we believe in stuff plus. That's one of our key performance indicators or one of our KPIs. And we're going to judge you as coaches based on how your pitcher's stuff plus improves or not. Right.
Right.
And, you know, if you say that, you create an incentive.
Yeah.
Of course, you're doing it on purpose to improve stuff plus. Now, if you don't say we're going to look at each pitch type and look at their relative stuff plus to themselves, and you're just going to look at my overall pitcher's stuff plus, then you're going to tell them, hey, guys, just everyone throw your slider 35%.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Just get out there. And I'm looking at Dana, and he comes to the major leagues. He's already throwing a slider 27% of the time. That's fairly high for a guy coming to the big leagues. And I also think of this in the context of the Giants were pushing all of their relievers to 45 and 50% slider usage. Mm-hmm. And they had this one, Mauricio Jovera, who he had good stuff plus because he was throwing his slider 50% of the time.
Right.
And he hit waivers and he didn't even get claimed they just DFA'd him.
Yeah.
And if I had been like an analyst that was like, oh, I'm just going to find the best stuff plus guys out there, I would have been like, oh, Mauricio Jovera, get him. And the Red Sox did pick him up. And I know the Red Sox value stuff plus pretty highly. So it is kind of funny that he ended up there. But there are these little ways that you can use stuff plus against itself where you're just and in this case, it only relates to Dana in that his slider's his best pitch. He started throwing it a lot. I mean, that's a lot for somebody who wants to be a starter is already throwing at 30% in the minor leagues. That means it's hard to tell him to throw it more.
Yeah, right.
To be a starter. You know, like, okay, now, oh, well, the first time in the major leagues didn't go so well. Let's go to 40% sliders. Sometimes there's just not another trick to be pulled. It's like, I liked Seth Lugo last year, but everybody's seen Seth Lugo's 8 pitches. What trick can he pull this year? He'd be like, I have 15.
Just change speeds a lot. You know, that's fine. You got it.
Yeah.
You get it out of everything. Just be 92 to 97 on your fastball and you got this.
I thought you might say Detmers.
Well, no. Detmers to me is someone that I see the tricks now. I see it, Detmers. What you do is you show up in the spring and you have the slider feel exactly, and then you lose it. And actually, what was interesting last year is that Detmers had increased vert on that four-seamer out of the gate. He had a 12-strikeout game against the Orioles. I'm like, what? I'm sorry. And then he just lost it. And then
he located his slider poorly last year.
And it got a lot worse with that. And the problem really is you can see it. You can see it cool. You locate your fastball well, then you got this nice changeup that shows up third time through the lineup. And it used to be this big curve that was your big number two. Slider that goes essentially always glove side. It would be great. I don't trust the Angels to make the adjustments with him. And this is just the thing that we've seen constantly. He finds it. He's got whatever talk he has entering the spring. And then when he loses it, there's no one there to tweak it with him. And what's interesting is that they fired Buddy Carlisle, the only guy who actually fixed him. This was in 2022, I believe. He went to the minors. Maybe it's 2023. Went to the minors, got a slider back because of Buddy Carlisle. And then he's gone. I don't buy it. I don't think that Detmers is going to get the help that he needs, honestly, in the Angels. And I don't really think the fastball is that good either. So I'm not in on Detmers, sadly. I would probably say Jack Ohana once again. I'm sorry.
Nice.
He's one of the rare guys that can throw like 75%, 80% sinkers, but command it. And I really genuinely believe that batters are not prepared for that anymore. They're not used to that kind of pitcher. They're used to the power four seamer or big breaking balls all the time. And just to have a guy that is working with a sinker around the zone and moving it effectively, like, is not common.
And when it comes to that, like, ridiculously low strikeout rate, I don't know. That's such a throwback. 9.4% strikeout rate last year is just, that is ridiculous.
That's crazy.
But I do think he has maybe another trick to pull. I mean, he only threw his curve 18% of the time, and it rates pretty well. So,
he could
push that to 25-30%.
There's a changeup kind of developing against left-handers. The way I see it is, like, everyone's just saying, yeah, Kahan, it's what a joke. It's just a sinker, blah, blah, blah. The fact that he went 65 innings of a 119 whip and about a 4 ERA is saying something for a guy just throwing a sinker. Like, that to me is saying that that's a foundation and there's theoretically room to build on from there. So Kahano is the guy that I just don't want to ignore for deeper leagues. 12-teamers, guys, complete Toby. Do not do that whatsoever. Let's say, of course, in the AL West. I was going to say
West. Oh, I did one last thing. That's
you got one? Oh.
No. About Kahano.
Yeah.
People play best ball, and in best ball, the computer sort of decides when to use your pitchers just based on when they have a really good week.
Sure.
And we were having a discussion in the Rates and Barrels Discord about how what could make a pitcher very high variance. And one idea that Sky Kaltman had was that a low strikeout rate pitcher could have very high variance.
Absolutely.
Because they're letting a lot of balls in play.
Yeah, it's just more reliant on Babbitt. Completely.
So if you're in like a 15 team, you know, best ball, Kahanowitz would actually be pretty good because you don't have the bad weeks when every ball in play finds grass, you know, you're not using those. But the good weeks where every ball in play finds a defender, you know, you got him. So
this is part of Framber's variance in my view. And that's because that sinker is often just like, cool, this is when I don't have my curveball today, I hope the sinker finds gloves and stuff. And speaking of which, we'll go to the Astros in the AL West. I'm going to say the Pasta Pirate, even though Spencer Arrighetti isn't really a sleeper. Is he still? I guess he's
pushing up. He's got that such a big up arrow. I think everybody loves the strikeout rate.
Yeah.
The stuff model revamp likes him. So there's not really a reason not to like him. Yes, he has some home run issues, but he didn't really have those in the minors. So
it's a thing with Spencer Arrighetti, which is really interesting. You've talked a lot about pitch mix, about having a lot of different options. And he has that cutter, I think a splitter in there with a slider, curve, and four seamer. It's a flat four seamer, which means that he can actually attack well at the top of the zone with it. He's has so much confidence in that curveball, threw a ton of strikes with it. And I love his mind too. I read the David Lorla interview, which David, by the way, is such a good interviewer. I love his stuff over the years. And Spencer Arrighetti talked about like his framework of pitching changed when he got to the majors and he realized like, oh cool, it's not just about throwing stuff around the zone. And like, I got to actually work in at bats and these guys are expecting this. And I understand the little differences now that really can make or break a start. And oh yes, I love when guys really get into that and really get focused into the moment to moment detail of pitching, because I think that's really the guys that really turn into something and recognizing it's not just a grand label. It's about those moments. How do I execute it here? Get out of it. That's what we really talk about with veterans. Of like, we always have a feeling that they'll get through it. It's like, that's the skill set. So I'm a fan.
One of my favorite things to do also is like when you're signing a long-term deal with somebody, sign somebody with five tools.
Yeah.
Because if they have five tools, there's different ways they can help you even as they age. So one of my favorite contracts of all time is Curtis Granderson with the Mets. Because he was a center fielder, he struck out too much. You know, there were some flaws, but I really liked the fact that he was a center fielder who could run, who hit for power, take a walk. And that ended up being kind of prescient because as he faded a little bit, he was still good enough defender to play the corner outfield.
Right,
and he was still able to pop some homers and, you know, still able to do. And that's the way I think about guys with big mixes. It's like, what if it also happens when he's on the mound? Like, what if he cuts the mound that day and the curveball's not there for him? Well, he does have the cutter and the slider and the change, you know, so you have more options when, you know, you get up there and it's not there for you that day. And
absolutely.
You can lose a pitch at any given time. I don't know. Was that something that you felt like they call that different day, different arm, or like,
you want to know? So I was a sinker splitter guy, really.
Yeah.
This, and thing is, when you're pitching in the Northeast and your season starts in February,
oh, it's so cold.
There were days I'm just like, no, I cannot throw a splitter today.
Oh.
My finger will just like be done.
And so then you were a one pitch pitcher?
I mean, that's fine. I was a reliever, and I hated being a reliever because I could, he said you had to be a reliever because you're the only one on the team who can throw strikes. Oh God. I mean, I would just pepper inside with sinkers to right-handers off the plate. It would start on the plate, off the plate, and I would just win that way, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I would just get grounders endlessly. So fine, I didn't have it. Okay, I'm just doing that today. It'll be all right. Yeah. Do the Foch ball, which is slightly in there if I needed something else. But yeah, so I mean, that happens absolutely on the mound. You lose a feel for it, and you're like, okay, no. I mean, McCullers told us that, like, he would look at the iPad and say, which one do I have today, my slider or my curveball, in a game?
Yeah.
And then he would change it, which I'm like, what?
And his breaking balls were so radically different with such radically different mechanics of release and stuff that I could see him just not having that release point that day.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Is he your sleeper for this
no,
year?
No, he's not. We might wait forever for 150 innings from him. Mm-hmm. My favorite sleeper is Luis Garcia.
Ah.
And I don't normally like to get pitchers that haven't shown me anything, like haven't stepped on the mound after Tommy John. Mm-hmm. And that's the case of Luis Garcia is coming back from Tommy John. But one thing that I like about him is that they've given him all the time in the world. He missed more than half of 2023 and all of 2024. He's well rested. They're saying he won't be ready for opening day. So that could, maybe that's a red flag and maybe he should just stay away, but also it's kept his price incredibly low.
Sure.
I've been taking him as my 10th pitcher in draft and holds in 15 team leagues. So if you're taking him as the 150th pitcher, I think you like, it's worth remembering that he was a really good pitcher in 21 and 2022. He could give you mid threes ERA with good strikeout rates. He had, a really good slider cutter situation, and the curve to mix things up. I mean, I thought he was a pretty good pitcher.
That cutter saved him. Yeah. It was, that showed up all the time. Like, oh my God. Amazing.
Yeah. And the Astros taught him that. Like, he thought his changeup was his best pitch coming up. And then they taught him the cutter. And now he's more of a breaking ball, the kind of cutter curve slider guy. But, I wish he was pitching right now. And but I think there could be a pretty hard up arrow on him if he gets into spring training games and looks normal.
So, I mean, the thing about the Astros is that when it comes to depth, they have so many guys in the IL. There's JP France, as you mentioned, Garcia and McCullers. There's also Christian Javier that the hope is at some point this year we see him. It was Tommy John in June of last year.
It'll be touch and go to see him.
Yeah, we don't really trust much of that. It's not the internal brace one. It's proper Tommy John, so it should be 14 months or so. That means that the SP5 right now is Hayden Wesneski, who I think is very interesting because it's a really good breaking ball. But there isn't quite a lot else. Sometimes there's a cutter that shows up that's good. He does go inside with sinkers to right-handers, which I always love seeing.
Yeah, I think he's good against right-handers. Sinker slider against right-handers.
Right.
I don't know what his plan is against left-handers.
And I'm curious about that. So for me, he is the number five. And that's actually a huge deal. If you're the number five in the Astros, that's, oh my gosh, you have such a good situation. You have Christian Walker first base. And even though you lost Bregman, that's a massive upgrade from Jose Abreu last year defensively. They should win ball games. They generally like to go somewhat deep with their pitchers. They aren't one of these like four innings guys. All right, let's go. They do go deeper. So their plan is to make Wesneski a starter. And after that, it's Sean Dubin and Forrest Whitley.
Probably in the pen. So yeah,
going to happen. So they're
going to, I think he's going to have to start till Luis Garcia comes back.
Right. I mean, there are two guys. One, my real sleeper, Jake Bloss. Just kidding. That would have been nice-ish. I don't know. He's kind of interesting. We'll see what happens with the Jays later. But there is one dude, and this guy is a capital D dude to me. It's Miguel Ulloa. He has a non-roster invite. He's not on the 40-man, not Ryan Gusto, who I'm not really Mi gusto. And then, so sorry, I'm sure he's heard that 20 million times in his life.
U-L-L-O-L.
Oh my gosh, this guy. I'm trying to get this right in front of everybody.
Fangraph says he has a 70 fastball.
Yes. This is a dude, you know. You got to know who this guy is. Oh my gosh.
He also says he has 30, 35 command.
but I don't know if that was the case. So like, okay. He has a fastball that's at 93, 94, but the way it comes out, he has 19 to 20 inches of vert, a 1.44 height adjusted VAA. He has a cutter for bridge as a bridge pitch for strikes, curveballs that are underneath that aren't as good. And I just look at this guy and I watch him and I just go, my gosh, it just dominates this fastball. And I'm not saying that he is ready to go that grade. I actually don't know if that was the grade from 2024, like a year ago from now, as opposed to like maybe it's updated, but
2024. Yeah.
So Lola might actually be higher with his command by now, but yeah, it's just about like, does he have a new secondary? Does he have enough strikes? Cause if he does, he's better than Sean Dubin. He's better than Forrest Whitley. He could be super, super fun. So that's a sleeper for me if Miguel Lola can throw enough strikes.
I like it. All right. I'm gonna save that one for later.
Yeah, take a look. Oh my gosh, this is I watch so many prospects. There's so many guys that I don't care about. I'm like, who are you? It's amazing. All right, we're gonna move on to the Athletics next, but before we do, we have to take a quick break. I know you stuck around the break because, oh my gosh, I can't wait. They're going to talk about the Athletics. I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. And you know, we see this every year, you know, that there are teams that we don't expect to win a lot of games that can actually feature some legitimate sleepers. Sandy Alcantara comes to mind, of course, in the past. Is there anyone on the Athletics that you're like, hey, you know what, guys, let's maybe take some notice. This guy could actually be pretty good for our fantasy teams.
Yeah, I have two. Can I have two?
Of course you can have two. I have like five.
All right. Mitch Spence.
Yes. That's a stuff plus throwing, isn't he?
Well, sort of. I mean, like overall, 99 stuff plus, which is okay for a starting pitcher, even if it's 100 is average now for starting pitchers. But the reason why I like him is because of how he gets to that. So, he has basically a passable sinker and a passable cutter, and then two good breaking balls. And so I think he has just enough to kind of dance around the handedness of the batter with the fastball. So he throws the cutter more to lefties, and that's a better pitch. It's 96 stuff plus. And he's kind of cutter curve to lefties, and then sinker slider to righties. He can mix in the change to both hands, but he doesn't use it very often. But just being a two pitch guy to both hands, I think, is enough to get him through five innings. I think he'll have like a 20% strikeout rate, and I think the offense will be better this year, so he'll have some wins. So I'm thinking like a low fours ERA hurts you a little bit in strikeout rate. Definitely more of a deep league guy. If I want somebody that I think could just break out beyond what they are, it's Bidot though. Because Bidot has a better four seam, a better cutter, two really good breaking balls. And the one thing that really hurt him last year was really poor command by the location grade, but he never got, you know, as a prospect, he didn't really get terrible, command grades, and he never had walk rates like Ulola in the minors. Like working 8 and 9% walk rates in the minors. So Bidot has what it takes to strike out 25% of the batters he sees and have a mid to high threes ERA. And I think he can even do that in the new park. I think the new park will be neutral. I don't think it'll be worse than Oakland, but it'll be neutral around the league.
Oh man, Oakland was something. It's interesting about Bidot. I don't love him just because the four seamer and changeup and cutter have been really low strike rates. I mean, as you're mentioning, you're saying that the command would be better than what it was really the location. And that actually would be really exciting because it was really detrimental to him last year. 57% strike rate to right-handers with that four seamer is just, oof. Combine that with the cutter that was thrown 20% of the time, that's 55% usage at about 55% strike rate. Which is just not acceptable. Yes, the slider, though, made up for it. It had to be everything, like 75% strike rate with it. Mm-hmm. And that maintained against sliders, against left-handers too, that slider. So it's a really legitimate slider. Just the changeup also struggled to get strikes 55% against lefties, and that was a 30% usage. So to me, it's something like, all right, you got to figure out the changeup. You got to figure out the four-seamer and the cutter. And like you can't have such high usage of pitches that have just such low strike rates. They're not working like that. There has to be a backup for it. But you're right, like leaning into an amazing slider, hopefully that Bedeau can break out of what I call the Wasker rule, which is you can't get into a guy with just an elite slider. He has to have something else. And Wasker, no, of course.
He has those other pitches. But it becomes a philosophical question about when do you have a pitch? Like,
yeah, sure.
Do you have a pitch just because you throw it? Do you have a pitch when you can actually command it?
Yeah.
Do you have a pitch when you can throw it 2-0 and 0-2? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say philosophically, it's when you can throw it for strikes and have success. Mm. Right. So a striker, you got to have a good striker. Strike minus ICR rate. Okay. But no, I like that. I've been ignoring Vito a bit, and maybe I shouldn't because that slider is that good. With Spence, I love that one. He's actually a PLB darling. His slider and
his command is better for sure.
Yeah, it is. But it's also the fact that it's a super high 5-6-8 PLB slider to right-handers and a near 6 against left-handers. Because again, the location of it, but I mean, that's just a filthy offering. And the question is, like, can he make that cutter go from 90, 91 to 93 or something like that? Can he actually push this up? I mean, we talk about velocity all the time with guys, but, like, if he can do that, I mean, that becomes Drew Rasmussen. It's kind of interesting to me if he can maybe make that work. So I love that Mitch Spence pick.
I mean, I think at 26,
probably I
wouldn't be waiting on
him. Yeah, I wouldn't either. Otherwise, I mean, there's not much here. I mean, no. Sure, Jeffrey Springs will be productive. I don't want to take him for other reasons. There's JT Ginn, who is a sinker slider guy, and he's made that work and actually gone inside effectively with sinker to right-handers. It's just, what do you do against left-handers? Is that changeup enough? Maybe. It was successful against him last year. There might be something there if he gets more opportunities. But nothing I would really be going for. Let's move on to
the Astros pitching development. Yeah. I don't really trust the A's pitching development.
Oh yeah, I don't either.
Rather see things that the pitcher has already done than hope that the A's will add anything to it.
Can we skip the Mariners?
There are no sleepers on the Mariners.
Right,
my God.
It's just Glenn Starters. And it's kind of wild to me how like Emerson Hancock. I can't imagine being Emerson Hancock right now.
Oh my gosh.
Because he is not ready, at least, and like just, you know, he's going to have to get innings. And it's just, you got it. Yeah. This is it, Hancock. Like, you got to figure it out now, you know?
And you're going to step into, when healthy, probably the best starting rotation in baseball.
Oh gosh.
So you're going to be replacing somebody who everybody been counting on, that everyone likes, you know, right. everyone has done a great job, and you don't necessarily have the same skills as all of them. I mean, if there is a guy that maybe younger that could step in, Logan Evans has a really good slider.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, number 10.
But I do wonder, like what you're saying, like, I don't know what the other, I mean, he has made that really good slider work at AA, so I think it's maybe really good slider with really good command.
Mm-hmm.
But, I am waiting to know more about him, because if it is just a good slider, that could be a reliever profile still.
Yeah, I went through all my I went through all my guys. I even had like Brandon Garcia, and I even said, this is your standard. Wait, he had 7 strikeouts, kind of armed, and then returned 600 runs in 1.2 innings and 4 walks in his next game. So there's nothing really there. Moving on to the Rangers in the AL West, who you got there?
On the Rangers, I mean, you got a similar situation where there's a lot of established names where it's just like, with, I think Eovaldi could be a sleeper because, you know, he's one of a handful of pitchers that's managed to put up his type of numbers, you know, ERA under 4, good whip, you know, over the last 3 years with 150 innings in a season. But also, he's a two Tommy John guy who's been losing the velo. He's down to 95.6. So I don't know if I fully trust him to put my patented sleeper thing on there. I think Tyler Malley did not come back with his stuff.
No.
And I don't know that I want to bid on him at all. Kumar Rocker is really interesting, but I'm going to go Jack Leiter just because he's even cheaper. And I think they may even need him to begin. They're talking about John Gray as the closer. And
are they actually, like, I remember there was some meeting at first and John Gray's like, this is the first I've heard of it. But then again, he should be a closer. Like, it makes all the sense in the world.
Texas manager Bruce Bochy said Saturday the team is thinking of Jay as a starter. Okay, all right. Recent
reports.
Okay, all right.
No, John Gray has a great slider, and like, he needs the extra tick or two on his fastball to make that work. He's like
the best guy
to be a closer.
A bet on Jack Leiter is a bet that one of Eovaldi, DeGrom, Molly, John Gray, and Kumar Rocker don't even make it to opening day, which I think is a safe bet. I mean,
Cody Bradford is there.
And Cody Bradford, does he have options? Come on, load. Would you guess he has options?
He has two options.
Okay, so he could be an option then, and then they could still be Leiter, so Leiter could just pitch his way in. Mm-hmm. Leiter's, you know, four-seam is really good. His slider's really good. And I know his locations aren't great and his command isn't great, but I don't think that it's there as bad as people made it out.
I agree with you. All the things are
could be there.
The extension is there, the attack angle, the velocity, like, you look at Jack Leiter's four-seamer, I think he had one of the highest fan four plus performances, which is essentially taking all the aspects that we like of four-seamers and saying this should generate a ton of whiffs. And the thing about him, I mean, it's really twofold. Is one, he wasn't consistent with the slider when he showed up. It wasn't a thing that really kept guys off of the fastball. Every time we see like Hunter Green and Spencer Strider, Jared Jones, they are confidently getting that slider down and in the zone, where guys can't just cheat on the fastball, and they could cheat on it with Leiter. And I would say the overall command wasn't quite there yet either, but hot dang, I'm with you on like this 1-2 punch is as good as any, you know, fastball slider combination we've seen. I'm a little more bullish on Kumar Rocker just because when I saw him pitch, it was surprisingly good command. I didn't expect him to actually be able to locate four seamers and sliders as well as he did, actually going up and in with a four-seamer to lefties, and then he did the DeGrom, and then the slider underneath it, like effortlessly. I don't know if he has a third option. I don't know if or a third pitch, I should say, or if it's really enough with those two pitches alone. I mean,
he dominated with that death ball for most of the minor leagues.
The slider is insane. And I can definitely see him getting into that rotation early, especially if Malley is not good enough. But Cody Bradford is like a Toby, man.
I just Kumar Rocker that I thought the command against lefties wasn't there actually.
Oh, really?
Because I mean, he just in results, you'll see that he walked 18% of the lefties he saw, and he walked 4% of the righties he saw.
Fair enough.
So I thought he was spraying because he's kind of a sinker guy, and I think he wants to. He wants to command that arm side. And so I saw him kind of spraying his stuff away from the left-handed batter.
You're completely right. I apologize. Yeah, only 53% strike rate to lefties with that slider. I thought it was way better than that. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you're right too in that when you see it work, you're like, this is it, okay. You know? And I also, the last thing is on Kumar is I just didn't know how many innings to give him.
Yeah, that's very fair.
I gave him 103 innings and put him next to Drew Rasmussen. Because I was like, you know, these guys may give you 90 innings this year, but they may be fire.
Yeah, that's a philosophical thing about the league that you're in, of course. I'm very much of, once you get past the fifth starter on your team in a 12-teamer, I don't think about innings anymore. I'm like, are you going to help? Good. And then I'll replace you when you're not pitching anymore. One last
thing. That's funny because I kind of go 15 teams and I have them right in the 70s, which is after you have your five starters.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. 100%. You get it.
Yeah.
I have them like in the 50s/60s, you know, for the 12.
You deserve the 5 and the 12.
Also, Kamar Rocker does throw a sinker inside very effectively to righties. I generally judge sinkers based on O swing and inside to right handers, their location rate. 47% O swing to sinkers against right handers is insanely good. That's 98th percentile if it qualified. So to see that he has that there also to take it on right handers is really just, okay, cool. Are you good enough to get to limit the walks against left handers? Please, Kamar Rocker. Then you'll be good. And just to tie it up with Cody Bradford, I mean, he's an extension boy who has a really good changeup. And if you have a good changeup against right handers as a lefty, you can have success. So I see him as a great 15 team option. You should be fine.
I like him, but 90 miles an hour, dude.
I know. I get it. I'm not saying top 150 pick or something like that, but just he'll be fine. He'll be fine. It's okay. Don't worry. It's okay. Good extension. It goes up to 92. Okay. Good extension. All right. We got to go quickly through the NL East because, of course, I take way too long in all of this. And we're going to talk about the NL East teams after this
NL
break.
West.
Oh, my gosh. NL West. Oh, this is why I need this break. We're going to take it right now. Bye-bye. What is wrong with me? Okay. Here we go. NL West is here. And we're going to start in the lovely city of San Diego. Now, we can't say Michael King is a sleeper anymore. That was a really fun time. Love him. Is there someone that you're circling with the Padres?
I think it's Nick Pivetta. I was looking at his home run splits, and he gives up home runs to both sides. So I was like, oh, well, this isn't like something that can necessarily be covered up by Park, but maybe that can be a little bit in that. I don't know that he has to give up home runs to righties as much as lefties, being a right-hander. And Petco does suppress homers by righties. So if he can get the home run rate against righties down to 1 per 9, even 0.9 or something, it's like at 1.5, you know? Mm-hmm. If he can get that down and give up a half a less a homer against righties per game, then he could have a 1.3 homers per 9 or something. That would be one of the better ones of his career. Right now, Oopsie, which loves Stuff Plus and uses it in its projections, says he can have a 3.75 ERA if he has a 1.3 home run per 9. That's what they're projecting for him. So, hey, we've got a 3.75 ERA with a 27% strikeout rate and a Padres team that should give him wins. I mean, it seems like everything's set up. One thing that is annoying is he can give you bulk, but he has been injured from time to time. I would not give him an A health grade, but
don't care.
Near he's 30% not going where you need to. Rate.
After What's the five, that? Baby.
He's
in a 12 teamer. No, actually, really to that point though, San Diego is known for April and May suppressing home runs. And
it's colder.
Then that's great. So you throw Pivetta for 2 months and then you see what happens.
It starts falling apart. Then
just get rid of it and move on, right?
Yeah.
But I definitely like that for Pivetta, at least early on. And I really love impact. I love the impact of having guys that actually help you out of the gate because then you don't, it's like if you have them perform, let's say in August or September, right? You won't even know to get them and you won't even and have them on your teams for that time. They've just been so bad before that you're not going to keep them around for to get that value, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if they perform well the first 2 months and they're bad after, that's great. You get it and you move on. You don't get the bad, right? So I love
make the decisions at the right moments. You got to make the right decisions.
Exactly. Yu Darvish to me is my sleeper here because I just feel like he's getting undervalued. That's all.
Yeah.
He's still a really good pitcher. And that's pretty much all I got is I don't really care for him to, he doesn't need to go 150, 180. Again, I don't think he's going inside the top 40 starting pitcher range anyway. He's around like the 50s or so, early 50s. He still has it in him. It's a great situation, as you've mentioned, of course, in San Diego. Like, I just think he's a great pitcher. He left last year. He had an X-ray for a moment, but it was really, he had a personal thing in Japan, and that's why he missed time. That means great.
I think it might be good for him.
This year too. Sorry?
You know, I think it might be good for him. A lot of times in the past, he's come back and had good years after he had kind of a lower sample. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think he gets tired. I mean, he's thrown 1,700 innings, not even counting spring and postseason in Japan. So
Ryan's a whip snapper.
I think having a low innings total last year could be a good thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing, I haven't done a lot of analysis for on Kyle Hart because I don't have numbers in front of me, but I did learn that he learned a sweeper and threw some of the most strikes of his career. And I can't say that this is an exact comp, but it reminds me of Eric Fetty. You know, mm-hmm. Eric Fetty learned a sweeper, changed up his mix, and threw the most strikes of his career in Korea and came back. That's both positive in that, hey, if Kyle Hart comes back and he's Eric Fetty-ish, the Padres will be happy. But right. It is also a little bit negative in terms of, I think that the ceiling isn't quite there. That's not a good fastball. Fetty doesn't have a good fastball. He's about the best. What he's done the last, 2 years is about the best you can expect from him.
Yeah, it's a little different also as a lefty. If he has a good changeup to go against righties, that could be a big big thing. I think of actually having that changeup as a lefty is equivalent to a right-hander having a slider, just because it's a really effective pitch against right-handers, right? Lance Brzozowski has a fantastic breakdown of him. In his Substacks, to go check that one out. We don't need to do the Rockies, right? Is there a sleeper on the Rockies? Is there anyone?
I mean, Feltner away from home, maybe, but it's such a tepid recommendation. I can't handle it.
You have to be like an ace on the road for me to actually believe that, actually lean into it.
Chase Dolander, 60 fastball by Fangraphs, overall 12 overall in their rankings, has the great strikeout rates. At some point, he's already done 9 starts in Double A. At some point, the team's gonna want to have something to show for the.
Do you pick him up when he pitches for the Rockies, Chase Dolander? Right, that's it.
I think in like my 20 in my 20 team keeper leagues, I'd love to have a share.
Well, sure, yeah. 12-teamer, would you do it?
No.
Right. That's the sad.
I think it screws up the pitchers away from home too. I mean, you can at like John Gray's home away splits,
and you'd be like that.
It doesn't even make sense. You're like, it's not that he's. I don't think that he had reverse, but it's just he wasn't that good on the road either.
Yeah. It was. It's all strange.
Halverson as a reliever, but yeah, as a start, I don't really have one for you.
No. We're gonna move to the Diamondbacks now, and. The Diamondbacks are an interesting scenario because you have Ryan Nelson, who's arguably their best starter down the stretch, who isn't in the rotation technically right now because you have Corbin Burns, Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Brandon Pfaadt. Is Brandon Pfaadt your sleeper, Eno?
I don't know.
Good.
I don't know that I have a sleeper here. I guess to some extent it might be Gallen because the projections are kind of mediocre on him, and I just get like a kind of pitcherish feeling from him. I think we talked about this on the Who Do You Like Despite the Numbers pod that we did. Brandon Pfaadt is like I don't know that he has another trick. So the big trick that he pulled was the sinker, and that was the 2023 playoffs, and he started throwing the sinker and he started dominating righties. And he used that sinker slider combination, sinker sweeper, to dominate righties. And he still hasn't shown me the trick that he's going to pull against lefties.
Yeah, I thought it could be the same too. I'm with you.
I thought it could be the curveball. The changeup, I don't think, is that good. He tries to use it. The fastball is not as good as the sinker, so he's going to go use a substandard fastball against lefties. The sweeper is not a great weapon against lefties. He's going to use it sometimes, but he needs the changeup or the curve or a cutter or something. And I don't think I've seen it yet.
I'm so with you on this, and I feel like I've been taking crazy pills. It's nice to hear, like, right, this is the thing, is that what does he do against lefties? It's not the sweeper, I'll tell you that. What he does do with the sinker and fastball is kind of cool. He does split it up and makes it hard to tell which one's coming against right-handers, but you just can't really live like that against lefties.
I mean, I guess you could throw the four-seam up and into lefties and the sinker up and away.
He does have a touch of cut, so that might help, but he got to nail it, And I think actually was what happens when he's effective is that he has that command. The real sleeper is Jordan Montgomery because he's not going to be a Diamondback.
Yeah, I kind of feel this way about Marcus Stroman.
Exactly.
You could if it's a deep enough league, you can just buy the guy and wait for the trade.
This is what's going to happen because there's no one left to sign.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a team that has their ace or their number two hurt. And then they're like, oh no, Mariners. Okay, fine. Jordan Montgomery, come on down. Let's
Yeah, it's either give like Tristan Casas to the Mariners or spend almost nothing to the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, right. Like that's what's going to happen. And the thing about Jordan Montgomery is that I think people forget that he's a rhythm guy. He's someone that would have these stretches. Remember when the Yankees traded him to the Cardinals and he went like one earned run over five starts or something like that? And then there he is with the Rangers having a good run at that moment. He did that with the Yankees all the time. He would still have these low ERAs and good whips and whatnot because he needs to be in rhythm with a sinker, curve, and changeup. So sure, just getting back into rhythm. He wasn't in rhythm at all last year.
I think my only
imagine that someone else will get him and he'll just soar.
The only thing that makes me nervous about this take, and I agree with it. Like I said, with Stroman, I have a couple teams where I put Stroman on just for that case.
Yeah,
and I like that he's coming to camp saying I'm a starter and I'm not going to relieve for you and blah blah blah. Yeah. Kick up a ruckus, Stroman. Get traded.
Yeah, get out of there.
The only thing I'm worried about is Andrew Haney, Jose Quintana, Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn. I know they don't sound like much.
No, I'm with you. I'm. You're right. You're completely right.
You could sign them for $5 million or whatever, and you know, not have to pay. So then you could go to the Diamondbacks and be like, okay, if you pay 20 of the 25, then I'll take Jordan Montgomery. Or if you pay 15 of the 25, I'd rather have Jordan Montgomery for 10 than Kyle Gibson for 5 or whatever it is. But yeah, like sometimes I don't like to bet on a trade that hasn't happened yet. You know, like
I'm still going to bet that Bailey Falter's going to the Rays. I don't care. Tell me, you know, going to happen. We have two teams left and we're going to take a quick break before we get to the Giants and the Dodgers. We're going to do a speed run. Stay tuned after this. Okay. Dodgers are interesting. I'm going to say right now, everyone is underrating Dustin May. I know we want it to be Bobby Miller as a number five for them.
Dustin May is out of options. I keep saying this. People need to look at the options. Tristan McKenzie is making that Guardians team because he's out of options. Mm. And Dustin May is in the rotation because he's out of options. They can even option Tony Gonsolin if they want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. I don't look at options enough, and that makes me feel so much better. Dustin Mays throws 97 mile per hour sinkers inside that just completely saw off bats. I mean, it's insane. And also, he never really harnessed the potential of that cutter and curve. 86 mile per hour curve, 91 cutter. Like,
he's made me sad because he is one of those pitchers that when he was at his best, I was so sure was going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And he was someone that I thought we needed something like Stuff Plus to really communicate how good he was. He has some of the best Stuff Plus of anybody who's not put together a big resume. You know what I mean?
Well, like, he just hasn't had the opportunity to really get into rhythm and figure this out, you know? So
I enjoy watching him too. Cause
absolutely.
I think when you're watching him, you're like, this is blistering stuff. It's like, it's like watching a bruised dog Gratterall that's starting or something, you know. It's like sinkers that just and like this blap and just it's just nasty everywhere. And
he's got that hair.
He's that hair, dude, and the whole ginger guard thing.
Oh my god, he's better than Syndergaard. Let's stop that. But true. I think it's Dustin May is the far and away one here because he's not really getting drafted as such at the moment, and this will change in the next 3-4 weeks to me completely.
Yeah. And I have a hard time kind of counting anybody else in this rotation a sleeper because there's such big names. And in fact, some of them I think are being overdrafted because, you know, there's going to be a 6-man rotation. They did say 5-man to start the season. And then when Ohtani comes back 6, but if you have Roki in there, I think you're and Yamamoto, I actually think it'll be a secret six where, you know, what other teams sometimes will do is early in the season, it's almost a secret 4-man rotation. Because on those off days, they'll just skip the fifth. You know, what the Dodgers will do, like, I think the Dodgers will kind of end up doing a sneaky six early and then a real six later. And that's going to really drop all of their innings totals. I did the math and like, if you expect 180 out of somebody who's going to do in a 5-man rotation, you only expect 135 out of a guy in a 6-man rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the leader in innings for the Dodgers this year will have 140 innings. And I think it'll be Blake Snell.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, it won't be Shohei Ohtani because you don't want to deal with having him as a stash. He won't be the IL spot in your league.
If it's like one of those leagues where it's pitcher only Ohtani, I think it's really hard Oh yeah, you can't even put him on the IL because he'll be playing as a hitter.
Yeah. And that's really tough. That's like essentially a prospect stash is how you need to treat him, right?
Yeah. And really he's just clogging up a bench spot.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan of that. And really, otherwise, prospect wise, I'm not really that excited. Maybe a little bit Ben Kasperius later on in the season.
I mean, I still think Miller has a chance, but right now he's like Kershaw's on that team.
No, Kershaw's on the IL to start the year.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, for Miller to start, he has, like, he's like ninth or tenth on the.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, gosh. Man, you know, remember a year ago how it felt?
It felt so good. Oh, I was cracking Bobby Miller and spreading him all over my chest.
Oh, my. Okay. Well,
that didn't work out.
We're going to go to the Giants now. Thank you. Now, the Giants, I have some guesses of who you might be choosing. Who do you like as your sleeper pick for the Giants?
Hayden Birdsong.
Ah, I thought you were going to say Rupp.
Yeah, the model update wasn't that kind to him. And what I see in Hayden Birdsong, I think it's a possible easy fix, and it may fix everything. Mm. And I hope that they think about it. In fact, I might text my dude on the Giants and see what he thinks. But he doesn't have a good shape on his four seam.
No.
He has terrible command on his four seam.
Yep. Oh my God. It's so unreal.
Really good breaking ball combo.
Yeah.
The kick change stuff plus loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Sinker.
Mm.
And what if the sinker fixed the spray on the four seam? Because I know why people, like when Logan Webb was coming up to the Giants, they kept trying to get him to throw the four seam because he was going to the big leagues and four seams were better. And at least needed to have a four seam to pair with the two seam. Right. And the first time he came up, he actually threw the four seam more than the two seam. And at some point somebody was like, Logan Webb, just throw the fucking sink. Like, sorry. But you know, I feel like at some point that there's going to be with Birdsong, it's gonna be like, let's try a different fastball. Maybe it's a cutter. If he has good enough feel on the slider and curve, maybe it's a cutter. Whatever it is, changing the shape on the fastball may be what it takes to improve the command, because people think about command as something that's sort of mechanical or innate or whatever it is. And I think that sometimes it's just related to shapes. Maybe you can command certain shapes, you can put certain shapes where you want, and you have trouble with other shapes. And whatever reason, when he throws the four seam, he flies open and he sprays that thing. And he's told me that he tried to put a weighted ball in his front glove to kind of stay closed and not fly open. He's obviously trying what he can to not do what he does, but he does it. So what if you change the mechanics of his fastball? And like, what if it's a cutter? And instead of flying open, he's in his head. He's being like, I got to cut it. I got to cut it.
It's a mental framework. Of course.
Yeah. So maybe a cutter or a sinker is the way out for him.
I love that.
If he's cutter, curve, slider, change, he could blow up and like be really good all of a sudden. Because he has 30% strikeout rates, you know?
So, you know, what's really funny is between his curveball and his changeup against righties, they actually had a sub 60% strikeout rate. He did have a 62% on his four-seamer to righties, but it was 57 against lefties. Nothing outside of the slider had a 60% strike rate.
It's not that fun to watch either.
No.
When he gets it right, you're like, ooh, that one, do that again. And then
I remember on Reddit, there was somebody saying, you watch Birdsong is going to be amazing. I'm like, I can see it.
Yeah.
I hope so.
At his best. Like, I mean, I could see how, like, if you were a prospect guy and you got your limited look at him, you'd be like, oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. That's how I feel about Moises Chassé and Lolo.
You Lolo. Lola, yeah. Right? His command's not bad. Not what I saw.
No. Right. But with Birdsong, you're totally right about the sinker, because I used to throw, of course, both of them. And I actually, on the sinker, I would do a shooto at the end, like for two strike counts to get my real movement back. Cause that's actually what I thought how two seamers moved. It was like a shooto with like reverse cut.
Yeah.
And so mentally though, I had to really think about getting out as far as I could and then pushing down my index finger, right? Coming through it like this.
Uh-huh.
And I definitely grasped.
Kind of hard to spray to open too early when you're doing that. If you're
you
like,
have
I gotta
to
get
stay
out
straight.
There.
I have to be out as far as I can to push it forward, right?
Yeah.
And if you give that guidance with a sinker, that can absolutely change it. Then the four seamer, like, yeah, I'm spraying open, sure. But it's also, there's like little things that you target in your head about how you want your wrist to be, how you want your arm to be. And it's kind of like how your sensation of like your lip is makes it in your mind like your lip is massive, you know, because you have so many feeling sensors on your lip, like relative to like your elbow or something. Yeah, it's the same size. No, it's not. But like it's, you can do that when you're pitching, where your feeling of like the ball on the tip of your finger is as if it's your entire foot, you know, and you can change what you're thinking about in that moment so slightly that can make those adjustments. So yeah, if he goes into a sinker, Hayden Birdsong, maybe then that forces a technique for the four seamer actually click in, or maybe he's just better at sinkers. I love that pick because you'll know quickly. Like if he makes the rotation and he's throwing strikes, great, Hayden Birdsong, that's what's up. I love that pick.
And he's had times in the minors where he had 6% walk rates and 10% walk rates. Like if he's coming up and he's doing that next year, then he's going to be good.
Yeah. I will give a small shout out to Keaton Wynn. Mm-hmm. I think he's actually going to be healthy now.
That splitter is good.
And also he had an ulnar nerve transposition surgery, which sounds horrible, but it's really transposition. It's just moving the nerve. It was just getting compressed from where it was and just like doop.
Stuck in the wrong groove or something.
Yeah. And that's not nearly as bad as like in repairing the tendon or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I can imagine.
So he was just in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
But it wasn't necessarily like
the ligament structural was damage.
Yeah.
So Keen Wynn could actually be an effective like 15 team Toby, like if not even a 12 one. And I don't think that anyone's really considering him for that. And the last one is Robbie Ray.
Yes. And you know who the comp is for him?
Keaton Wynn, Alex Cobb. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's probably better.
No,
I was going to say Gossman because he throws the splitter 40-45% of the time and he can throw strikes with the splitter.
He doesn't have a curve like Cobb, so yeah. So actually it's probably better with Gossman.
He can throw strikes with the splitter, so he has actually the feel to kind of do the like almost 50-50, but the slider is not bad. So, you know, it's good enough of a slider to.
Yeah, it's good against righties, just not there against lefties at all.
Yeah. So against lefties, he's kind of like 50-50 four seam splitter.
Yeah.
And then against righties, he's more of a four pitch guy.
Yeah. I mean, we liked him before he got hurt, essentially. And I feel like, all right, there's something there.
Yeah, for sure.
The last one's that y'all need to draft Robbie Ray. I think everyone's just waiting too long on him. He's an amazing strikeout guy, and he should be productive. Like, he shouldn't destroy your team.
I have a study that I saw that's the command comes back last, and, you know, the command wasn't necessarily there from last year, but the velo was, the strikeouts were. I'm in on Robbie Ray this year.
Yeah, Robbie Ray, I think, is very much overlooked because he had a 4.70 ERA in a very small sample last year. And, I mean, he didn't have a single game above three walks, just at least, you know. He really had, like, two bad ones, and that was it. So, Robbie Ray, but that's going way over time here. I've taken too much of Eno's time, guys. Oh my gosh. All everybody thank him, of course, watching live here on YouTube. And but Eno, tell everybody what you're doing right now. I mean, are you going off to spring training? You're gonna be talking to players now?
Not quite yet. Doing that in early March. But what am I working on? I'm working on hitting the modern state of hitting development.
Ooh.
You know, what it means, what the sort of tech explosion in college means. A couple of good stories. I got to turn my attention to stories a little bit. And over at Rates and Barrels, we're doing season, like sort of divisional previews right now.
Nice. Oh, I love it. I got my top 400 starting pitchers coming out on Thursday, so the 20th of February.
And mine's out, so maybe once we finish the Easter. Are we done?
Oh, we're done. We did it. We did all our sleepers. They're done.
All right. So next week we'll have to do a battle of the
rankings. Absolutely. Can't wait for that. We're also joining Joe Rico on his podcast as well next week. So look out for that one. And I'll have an article out on Friday about what to look for in spring training from every single rotation. So you can actually have some fun with us as we do our research. So look forward to that. But that is it. So on the behalf of Eno Saris, my name is Nick Pollock. And we'll talk about the craft of pitching again next week.